WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Nearly 5 years after it began, Illinois is still feeling the after effects of the COVID-19 pandemic, mostly in terms of relief funding that was allocated to agencies and departments across the state. That's because it's set to run out at the end of this year, leaving departments like Chicago Public Schools and the Regional Transit Authority high and dry. Why were we not prepared? And what can be done to mitigate the effects of this funding crisis? Later in the conversation, we'll hear from Sarah Freistadt of the Chicago Tribune about the state of the Regional Transportation Authority's finances. But first, I sat down with Sarah Karp, WBEZ education reporter, to talk about the Chicago public school system. Here's Sarah.
So mostly they spent it on salaries. They were under an obligation by their teacher's contract that they signed in 2019, which was right before the pandemic, to add nurses and social workers and people like that. But then they also put interventionists in every school. These were an extra teacher to help struggling readers. They also added instructional coaches. They did a whole bunch of things that they thought would help to spur the academics of the kids, to help them catch up, you know, post-pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does that spending compare to other districts? Did they spend in similar ways?
No. A lot of districts, and there was a good reason why, because this is a finite amount of money that had to be spent down by 2025. So most districts tried to spend it on things that weren't people because, you know, you have to fire people if you don't have any money to pay them or lay them off. And so, there was sort of a gamble from CPS to say, like, hey, we're going to spend our money on people, knowing that in a couple years, we're not going to have the money there to pay them. And, you know, now that, you know, that risk is coming out.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now without COVID funding, the district will be out nearly $700 million next year, Sarah. CPS and the teachers union, they're asking Springfield for more money, of course, out of the state budget. But what will happen if they don't get that additional state funding?
Well, I was just talking to a CPS official the other day, and he was saying that, you know, this year's budget, the one that needs to be approved over the next month or so, that we're down about, CPS is down about $400 million. And that's actually an underestimate because it does not include raises for the teachers, and there's a teacher's contract being negotiated right mm-hmm. now, and we have to imagine that they're going to want some level of a raise. So we have a big deficit this year. But then the following year, $700 million plus. And, the guy I was talking to is like, that's what he loses sleep over. He does not know how. And, you know, we've been in this position before. The public school system has been in the position before where it's had to lay off, fair numbers of people. Class sizes go up. You start looking at where else you can make efficiencies, you know.
I mean, are there other funding streams? What about the Federal Department of Education?
Well, the Federal Department of Education, I mean, you know, I'm sure they'll take money from wherever they can get it. And, you know, maybe one of whoever is the next president will come through with some amount of money. I mean, there's always that chance. I think the better bet people think is the state, because by the state's own, you know, figuring, CPS only receives about 75% of what it needs to mm-hmm. reach adequacy. And if it was given all the money that it needed to reach adequacy, you know, that would be an extra, you know, $1 billion. And so the school district would be able to make up, you know, that balance. So I think that's where a lot of people are putting their sights. There's also a lot of ways in which Chicago Public Schools differs from the way other school districts in the state are funded. And I think that the school district would really love to see some of those other ways change. For example, in all other school districts, the state picks up the pension contribution for teachers, but Chicago has to pay its own pension contribution.
Mm-hmm, right.
So things like that would really, you know, help not just in one year, but long term.
Ease the burden. Yeah. That's WBEZ education reporter Sarah Karp. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's take a look at a different angle of this funding imbalance over in transit. Sarah Freistadt, transportation reporter for the Chicago Tribune, here with us in studio. Thank you so much for being here, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
So the Regional Transit Authority also received a hefty sum during the pandemic, $1.4 billion with a B. What did the agency spend that money on?
So that was just actually a small part of what the region's transportation agencies got. All told, you know, CTA, Metra, PACE, the RTA, transportation across our area actually got $3.5 billion from the feds.
Oh, okay.
You know, a significant amount of money. And they all the different agencies really spent that money just to keep buses and trains going. You know, one of the weird kind of situations about our transit agencies is that they historically have relied pretty heavily on fares from riders to you know, keep the buses and trains moving. So of course, when people stopped riding during the pandemic, that left a very significant, you know, gap in their budgets, that those fares weren't coming in anymore.
How can it make this money up?
So, so it's been leaning on these federal funds for the past couple of years to fill that gap. But it will run out, right? So right now they're expecting, CTA and Metra both are expecting the money to run out in early 2026.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you know, they're talking about, what do we do then?
Well, I hate to add to the burden, but there are other issues with transit, right? I mean, tell us about ridership.
Yeah. So, obviously ridership has not come back, you know, to the way it was before the pandemic. You know, some of that is just, people's habits have changed. They're not commuting as often to their offices downtown, you know, not going out and about to the same types of places that they used to take buses and trains to. But another part of that is also, you know, CTA especially has had a lot of challenges these past couple of years. They've taken a lot of heat for, you know, not providing frequent or reliable service. Mm-hmm. People have been concerned about cleanliness and safety. You know, these concerns are real and valid. They also kind of lead to the perception of maybe, hey, like, I don't want to get on CTA. And I hear from a lot of people who say, yeah, I'm at the point where it's not reliable enough. It's not a great experience. I'd rather just get in my car and drive.
It's a spiral. Declining ridership drives down revenues, which drives down quality, which drives down ridership, and it just keeps going. Now, there is proposed legislation to combine the three agencies, Sarah, Metro, CTA, and PACE. Give us the latest on that effort.
Yeah, so that was introduced in Springfield this year. You know, as you said, it would just combine all the agencies into one entity. It does have a little bit of maybe some more legs than it might otherwise have because of some of the angst around CTA. But, you know, it would be a pretty big political lift to get it done.
Does it do anything to fix the budget problem?
Right. So that's the big catch. It does not. It only talks about the way these agencies are governed. You know, I talked to the bill sponsors about that and I said, well, what about the big funding cliff that's coming up? They said the intention with this bill was really to first address the leadership of, you know, these transit agencies, and then they plan to tackle funding down the line.
That's Chicago Tribune transportation reporter Sarah Freistadt. Thank you.
Thanks.
WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Though it seems those pandemic relief dollars are running out everywhere, the city of Chicago seems to actually have a lot left over, having spent less than a third of its relief funding. So on the line with us now from City Hall is WBEZ City Government and Politics reporter Tessa Weinberg. Hey, Tessa, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So we've been hearing all about how much trouble these agencies are in from Sarah Karp and Sarah Freistadt, but the city actually has an excess of COVID funding, as I mentioned. So how much money are we talking about here, Tessa, and how long does the city have to spend this money?
Yeah, so the city has been pretty slow to spend the nearly $1.9 billion in pandemic relief funds it got. And it first got this money under former Mayor Lori Lightfoot. And the majority of that money went to cover the city's operating expenses. But then there was a remaining chunk of $576 million that the city was going to put back into the community through different programs. And so as of earlier this summer, the city still had roughly $345 million in these unspent American Rescue Plan Act funds that they still need to spend, some of that they still need to budget. Mm-hmm. And so in an effort to try and quickly kind of get some of these dollars out the door, Mayor Brandon Johnson's administration has been reevaluating which programs have already been getting funding, which ones are slated to get more. And they're shifting around some of those dollars, more than $80 million, to try to more quickly get these dollars out the door and put it into programs that they say, you know, work, that they say have been able to spend the money quickly and find maybe new sources for other programs, mm-hmm. or sunset them completely. And so overall, as of late May, the city had budgeted 89% of the federal relief funds it has, and then has spent 82% of that.
Yeah, and speaking of those programs, we've talked on the show before about how the city's choosing to spend some of the money, from a guaranteed income program to mental health emergency response teams. But can some of this funding be used to fill the holes that we've been talking about this hour in CPS or transit?
You know, that's a good question. I think because CPS and transit, like CTA, got their own buckets of the federal relief funds, that, you know, I think that the city would say, you know, they've gotten their share, and that the city is needs to focus on, you know, its areas and how it will spend its own dollars. And I think, you know, it's not unique, though, that both CPS and transit and the city, you know, they're all facing now these looming fiscal cliffs, mm-hmm. as these, you know, big buckets of federal relief funds are starting to run out. And so the city is really, you know, looking at these community initiatives and trying to double down on those for the remainder of its money, which it has to, you know, make sure all the dollars are at least budgeted by the end of this year, you know, are earmarked for certain programs, have the contracts in place, mm-hmm. and then all has to get spent by the end of 2026, or it is at risk of then being returned to the federal government.
Or they lose it. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mentioned earlier, you are at City Hall right now. Tessa, will there be any discussion of these funds today?
Yeah, so, you know, we're waiting on a subcommittee to start, and it's a revenue subcommittee that was formed under Mayor Johnson with the whole purpose of, you know, exploring new revenue sources for the city. And so today they're about to have a subject matter hearing where they talk about some of those ideas. And, you know, it's definitely related to, in part, because we have all this federal funding starting to run out. The city needs to, you know, look for other sources to be able to, you know, fund some of these programs to keep government running. And some of the ideas already that have been floated, for example, are, you know, could raising property taxes be on the table, even though that's something Mayor Johnson, you know, vowed he would not do mm-hmm. when campaigning? You know, should we legalize video gaming? Other kind of unique ideas that we'll start to maybe see some of that discussion and see what alderpersons think. And either way, any of those ideas are probably likely to face, you know, a really long legislative process to actually enact them. And we're starting to gear up for Mayor Johnson's second budget season. So we're starting to talk about all that stuff. So.
That's Tessa Weinberg, WBEZ City Government and Politics reporter, about the end of COVID relief funding here in Illinois. Thank you so much, Tessa.
Thanks for having me.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Jules Yeager, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Max Lubers. Reset brings you the news you need to know and the best of Chicago culture. Now, if you enjoy this podcast, consider leaving us a rating. It helps other people find us. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thank you for listening. We'll talk again this afternoon.
Love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.